Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
When you look at Strasburg, what he's done in this postseason, and you see 4-0 with a 1.93 ERA, 40 strikeouts, 2 walks. He didn't even have his best stuff against the Astros in the first game, and they won 12-3.
Yeah, but that was a little misleading. When he left the game, it was still a game. And the Astros were able to get 2 runs off of him. That's all you're going to need to get off him tonight, I think. Because you'll get more off their bullpen. I actually feel like the Astros are going to finish it off tonight. I think Verlander's going to show up. He's going to get out of the first inning without getting beat up. And yeah, I think at some point, the bats have been... It's been really interesting because they haven't really hit the way you would expect them to, but there's always been somebody different coming up with a big hit, and I think that's what's going to happen tonight.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number 3, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch. Put your comments on there. Missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. All available on podcastarena.com. Very sportsy today, as you might expect. I do need to give something away here that I was supposed to do earlier, but we got busy. ESPN 97.5 wants to send you and a guest to the exclusive premiere of Ford versus Ferrari Wednesday, November 6th at Edwards Greenway Plaza at 7 p.m. Based on the true story of the American car designer Carroll Shelby, played by Matt Damon, and the fearless British-born driver Kevin Miles, Christian Bale, Ford versus Ferrari follows Shelby and Miles, who battled corporate interference, the laws of physics, and their own personal demons to build a revolutionary race car for Ford Motor Company to take on Enzo Ferrari at the 24 Hours of Le Mans in France in 1966. At 605, caller 5 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see the film before it's released on November 15th. I've seen the commercials for that.
It looks good.
It does look good, yeah. And it didn't seem like something I would be interested in, man, but the more I see it, and, you know, Matt Damon and Christian Bale, I'm in. I'll watch that. 713-780-3776. You know, we have not had a chance to mention for 2 days here, and it's driving me nuts.
What's that?
College football.
We've not.
And somebody asked, are the girls from the game now registered sex offenders?
I don't think
I don't think so.
They're not even in trouble with the law. They're only in trouble from baseball.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's not like there's a booby scanner when you walk into a Major League Baseball stadium that says, oh, these are the boobies. They're not allowed in here. Come on.
281 asks, have you been to Sigma Brewing yet? Thinking about watching the game there tonight. Any food nearby? Trying to avoid insane places like Carbach or St. Arnold.
I got news for you. I went to Sigma before game one.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
That was like an hour before the game. There was already people piled into that place.
Yeah. I've been a lot. I have not been for a game. And honestly, everything on that side of town that I've gone to for a game has been packed. Even the little bar next to me that.
It's a World Series, dude. Yeah, you either watch it at home or watch it with a whole bunch of people. That's your options. There's not going to be a bar that's got like a couple people at it.
Yeah, I mean, even some of my really out-of-the-way spots have been packed. So.
I went on Friday, and my wife and a couple of our friends went to... They got there at about, I'd say, 6:15, got to Hay Merchant, and they got a table outside... And, you know, they've got the tarps down and heaters going, so it was nice. But we had a nice table there, and then after about 5 or 6 innings, we were like, oh, let's go over to my cousin's bar, which is our bar.
Yeah.
I guess, what do you call it? Sawyer Heights? Is that
Sawyer Heights.
So
it's right by the police station.
We go over there. Oh, my God. It was jam-packed. Like, you could barely get around in that. And it's kind of like, it's a neighborhood bar.
Yeah.
And it was just jam packed,
and it's pretty decent size too. Yeah.
I mean, it's so everywhere is just loaded down. I will say this about her bar: when the Astros hit a home run, they give out free Jello shots. So if you're into that sort of a thing, that's
who wouldn't be?
But you also, listen, there's a lot of people there for those Jell-O shots.
Yeah, even at, and we went to that Harrisburg Country Club for one of the games, and it wasn't packed at the beginning, but it got packed. So, I mean, almost everywhere it's going to be rough. And, you know, I just that's just part of it. I mean, if you want to go and go out tonight's the night to do it, because if they win, you want to party with people.
Yeah, you want to celebrate. You want to take it back.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Me, if I take it back, it's going to be at my house. Take it back all by myself.
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning towards, just because I don't, you know, for one thing, I've got work to do. And the other thing is, I don't like being around crowds anymore. And I that's one of the things about getting old. I just don't like crowds. And if I don't need to be in one, I won't. And you know, I've got plenty of good alcohol, including this Whitmire's that I'm taking home, that I can sit and drink at home. I don't have to worry about waiting in line to get my drink. But I understand that most people want to get out and have fun. So. Somebody says Eureka Heights was pretty full but spacious last Wednesday for the World Series game.
Eureka Heights has a huge space.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, if you're in the Heights, that's probably not a bad call. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. So getting back to college football, we did not get to discuss the fact that Oklahoma, dead.
Boomer.
I think the best meme I saw was the score and the schooner crashing from last week.
Yeah,
that was pretty hilarious. I don't know what the hell happened there, but they're in a tough spot now, because frankly, I think Ohio State looks legit.
Ohio State is probably the best team in the country.
I would have them, if I were doing the top four right now, I would have Ohio State 1, LSU 2, Bama 3, Clemson 4.
That's fair. I'll say this, though. Clemson, they figured it out.
Yeah.
It's obvious that they weren't worried about – and listen, they don't need style points. A, they're the defending national champs. B, they have a schedule that they don't really have to worry about.
They're not going to lose
losing a game.
No. So they came close to losing the one game they were going to lose.
There's 0% chance that the defending national champions – go undefeated and aren't invited to the playoff. Yeah. There's just no chance. So they've got no reason to go out and get margin. But the last couple games, they've decided, okay,
yeah,
we're going to let this offense eat a little bit. The defense has been money all year long, if you've been watching them. Their defense is fantastic. But their offense is starting to come together now, and it's scary. I think the four teams you mentioned are the four best teams. But LSU and Alabama play each other, obviously. Yeah. Ohio State and Penn State will have to play each other, even though I think Penn State's phony, and I think Ohio State is going to
take a dump on them. They're going to eat their soul.
But I think the teams that benefit the most from Oklahoma losing are really, the one that jumps out to me like right off the page is Oregon. Oregon or Utah. I mean, whoever, if there's a one-loss team out of the Pac-12, maybe you've got a chance, because they'll look at it, and Utah's loss would be at USC, which isn't a great loss, but it's not a horrible loss. Oregon's only loss so far is a neutral site game at Auburn, which they led for all but the last 2 seconds of the game.
And Auburn's no joke.
Auburn's a good team. They're the 11th ranked team in the country.
Yeah, and their schedule has just been brutal, and that's part of it. And they gave LSU all they wanted.
So,
and if you're going to think LSU's that good, which I do, you got to give Auburn some credit.
Yeah. But I think those are the Pac-12 are the ones who the door just kind of got open for them, because we just assumed that Oklahoma was going to keep winning.
Yeah, and I think this puts Oklahoma in a really bad spot, because
their conference isn't good enough to fade a loss, I don't think.
No, and I think with Oregon and Utah being ahead of them most likely, and also Georgia is kind of, because they're going to get to play Florida. If they beat them, that's a good, either one of those teams.
Well, and Georgia or Florida, whichever one of those teams has one loss, has a chance to play Alabama or LSU.
Right.
And if they win that game, they're unquestionably in.
Yeah.
But Oregon and Utah wouldn't have to play a game like that. You know, Oregon, their remaining schedule is USC, Arizona, Arizona State, Oregon State. Oregon should win out. And then they would play, presumably, Utah. Although what would really help Oregon is if, I mean, USC were somehow to win the South and keep Utah away from them because they've got that head-to-head win. But I think that would then push, if Oregon beats USC, I think it pushes them into second place in the South. So they'll probably end up having to play Utah either way. But the winner of that game, I think, is suddenly back in the mix. And Utah's remaining schedule, I think they've probably got their toughest game left this coming week. They're at Washington. After that, UCLA, Arizona, Colorado. They're not losing any of those games. This Utah team is pretty legit. So I think you're going to see the Pac-12, who we kind of wrote off after a couple weeks, said, oh, they're not getting a team in. They've got a legit shot now, and the Big 12 suddenly feels like the conference that might be left out in the cold.
And 281 says, really? Utah lost to USC. K-State is 5-2. Oklahoma gets in every year with one loss. But they're not going to have the quality of wins that I don't think that they need because, I mean, Baylor to me is, you know, okay, they're unbeaten, but are they that good? Is that going to be a quality win for you? And you beat Texas again, who, by the way, just lost to TCU. They may not even make the championship game. I mean, they don't have the out of conference schedule that they've had in the past where you can say, oh, well, they got a good win here.
Well, I mean, yeah, UH was there, or UCLA were their big non conference games.
Both those teams are way down.
Yeah. And I think that they'll look at Oregon's loss to Auburn, a game that, you know, they lost. There's no doubt about it. They lost the game, but if you watch that game, they led the entire way. They were the better team that day. And I think when you talk about people considering things, they'll say, look at Oregon's one loss to Auburn. That's a better one loss than Oklahoma's got for sure.
Well, and the way they played that game, there's no guarantee Oklahoma's going to go through without another loss.
And if Utah goes through, if they're the team that gets through and they beat Oregon, that's a better win than anything Oklahoma's got. Because who's going to be Oklahoma's best win at the end of the year? Baylor? Okay. That's not really a resume builder. Their resume is on the front of their jerseys. They're Oklahoma, so everybody just assumes, well, they're good. But if you look at their actual resume, the Big 12 is – Texas being crappy doesn't help them at all.
No.
You know, that's no good for them. And now, I mean, they're legitimately – their best win at the end of the season – might be the Baylor Bears, and that's not good. When you lose to Kansas State, there's not a great argument to be made for you. Oh, well, we beat Baylor. Maybe even we beat Baylor twice. Sorry, that ain't going to cut it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's sort of self-defeating because if Baylor's good enough to beat you, then you're out anyway.
Yeah.
And if they're not, it's not going to help you that much because people are just going to say, oh, well, it's just Baylor.
Now, if Baylor – while we're talking about it, there is the outside possibility that Baylor wins out and they beat Oklahoma, they beat Texas twice, or they beat Texas and then they beat Oklahoma again. But I'm telling you, I don't think they're that good.
But if they do all that, then they're better than we think.
Agreed. And if they run the table in the Big 12,
that's going to get in over a one loss Pac-12.
It'll probably get in, even though the more I think about it, when you look at Baylor's non-conference schedule, Stephen F. Austin, UTSA, and Rice.
That Rice game they damn near lost.
So then basically you're punishing Oregon for scheduling Auburn because that would be the only difference between them and Baylor. And then it's like, oh, that's just, to me, that's tough. And I, you know, just as somebody who watches football from an investment standpoint, I think Oregon and Utah are both way better than Baylor.
I think Oregon is. I don't know about Utah yet, but and part of it is I just haven't bought into Baylor yet, and it's cost me some money.
Yeah.
And speaking of investing, but you know I do think if they do all that, it makes their resume look better. But they're kind of suffering from the fact that these are still Art Briles schedules.
Yeah.
When he was out scheduling no one in the outside of conference. And that's going to hurt you when it comes down to it. If they lose a game, they got no shot.
Yeah.
You know, like if they lose to OU in the regular season, then beat them in the Big 12 championship game, that's not going to get them in.
Utah has allowed 10 points per game. I mean, that team is legit defensively. They've given up 10 points total in their last three games combined.
Who do they have left?
At Washington this weekend.
That's a tough one.
UCLA at Arizona, home to Colorado.
Yeah, they're going to have to lose to Washington.
Or lose in the Pac-12 championship.
Yeah, yeah. All right, guys. Hey, I know you've been, holidays are coming. You've been thinking about trying to save some extra money. Well, we've got a way for you to do it. How about you consolidate your high-interest credit card balances to a lower rate and save with Lightstream? You can get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. It's much lower than the national average interest rate of over 20%. Plus, your rate is fixed, so as rates continue to rise, guess what? Your low rate won't budge. And there's no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. So if you've got good credit and you want to get those credit card payments down a little bit, try this. Just for my listeners, apply now. You'll get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval, rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So, yes, Aggies went out. Is there a chance? Losses to Clemson, Bama, and Auburn? No. I mean, there's three losses.
Who are they talking about?
Aggie.
No, they're bad.
Well, plus, I don't see them winning out against LSU.
They're not.
I mean, unless Jose Burrow gets hurt or something, I don't see LSU losing to anybody but Alabama. And they got to play Georgia still. So, yeah, I don't see it. And Peter asked, how good is Minnesota? Are they a dark horse disruptor?
Well, look at their schedule. I mean, are they a dark horse disruptor? That's an interesting term. I don't know what you mean by that. Are they a team that can, if they make it to the conference championship, that they can they challenge Ohio State? No.
I don't think so.
Are they a team that has exceeded expectations and should probably feel good about what they've done? Yes, but their best win to date is I guess it's probably Nebraska. So,
well, and they get Penn State this week, so that could easily.
It probably ends this week. Yeah. Well, someone's always got to. Although I think that Minnesota's on bye. I think that's a week from
2 weeks. Yeah, I think it's the same week as Alabama LSU. Corrected,
but. Yeah, they've played no one who's even remotely good. Honestly, the best team they might have played is Georgia Southern. I have to look at my power rankings, but it might be Georgia Southern, which is pretty sad. But they've got Penn State, they've got Iowa, at Northwestern, and Wisconsin left. It wouldn't shock me if they go 1-3 in those four games.
So, yes, what about Florida as a dark horse national title contender? I think Florida...
If Florida wins out.
If they win out, they're in the playoffs.
Yep.
And, you know, that...
There's still a handful of teams, like serious teams, like you could say... like Minnesota's a team, you could say, well, they could do this. The reality of it, they're not going to. They're not good enough. But Florida's amongst a handful of teams that still control their own destiny, and I could legitimately see it happening. I think Georgia beats them this week, and I think it ends all that conference. Well, one of them's eliminated this week,
right.
Certainly, Georgia or right. Florida. But the winner of that game controls their own destiny going forward. And if they're able to beat that SEC West team, whoever it might be, because let's face it, Florida showed that they can play with LSU.
Yeah, they did.
You know, that wasn't
at LSU. They weren't overmatched at all in that game. And that's the first game this season where they really impressed me. It's funny how it happens in a loss, but they went toe-to-toe with those guys.
And Florida, at the end of the season, where they normally have a tough matchup with Florida State, they've just got a matchup with Florida State.
Right.
So the schedule is going to break down well for Florida. Georgia, if they win, they're not necessarily out of the woods because they still have a trip to Auburn on their schedule. So, but they would control their own destiny.
They still play A&M too, which you know they should win that, but hell. Didn't think they'd lose to South Carolina.
Yeah.
So, ATG says LSU won't be playing Georgia if they make it to the SEC ship, it'll be against Florida.
I don't know. I think Georgia beats Florida this week.
I think we'll find out.
And I think it's going to be such an ugly game.
Yeah, it's not going to be sexy.
That's going to be like a 10-7 or 10-9 kind of game. I feel like it's not going to be a pretty game.
As UT with the loss to TCU, are you where are you at on Tom Herman at UT?
I mean, I don't think they should be considering going in a different direction, but I think the problem is people got too excited too fast about what Texas could be.
Yeah, that's what I was saying last year. I think last year in some ways was a negative because the expectations were too high for this season. I still think it's next year that you should see what UT is going to be under Tom Herman.
Yeah, here's what I'll say about Tom Herman, and the biggest negative in my mind about Tom Herman is he's a buddy hirer.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, having your buddies around you is fine and good while you're winning. It's pretty clear Todd Orlando's in over his head. He's not very good. And he's going to have to make that decision at some point of, do I need to go get a different defensive coordinator? You know, I still think, you know, what are they're 5-3 now. My guess is that they're not going to get to 10 wins, obviously, but if that team wins 9 games, is anybody angry about it? Or like, are boosters upset that they won 9 games because they're down from 10?
You know what the expectations are there.
Their remaining schedule, Kansas State, that's a big game. I mean, but they might not win 9 because they've got Kansas State at home, which, by the way, at home means nothing. They almost lost to Kansas at home.
Yeah.
Almost lost to Okie State at home. They've got at Iowa State, which is not a cakewalk. At Baylor. Baylor might thump them because Texas can't play defense. And then they're home to Texas Tech. Texas Tech's pretty crappy. So, I mean, we might be looking at a 7-5 year.
Yeah. That one. I kind of think you got to get to 8 wins. And, you know, although
I'm sure they play in the Pinstripe Bowl or something. Yeah. And, you know, they'll beat Illinois in the Pinstripe Bowl, maybe, and everybody will feel good about
maybe
themselves.
Maybe they could play Aggie somewhere.
Well, maybe.
But Kansas State, too, this would be the week you want to play them because that's where you expect the bounce after the Oklahoma win, but there's a week between it. So,
yeah.
I still think that, at least for me, next year was always going to be, okay, this is where we'll find out what he's going to be able to do there. And I think last year, everybody, oh, Texas is back. Well, let's see. I mean, I thought they overachieved last year, and that kind of increased the expectations too much for this year.
Hey, speaking of Aggie, I want to point out that I was lucky enough, and this is actually, I'm actually lucky that we've got this thing. It's going to be recurring. Every week we're going to talk to Buzz Williams, the Aggie basketball head coach.
That's very cool.
Which I'm excited about. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's going to do great things for that program. Unfortunately, I got up this morning super early, drove in early to record this interview with him after their morning practice, did the interview, lasted probably 22 minutes, and none of his audio recorded. So it was just my voice and then a big blank and then my voice.
So, Coach, you have to be excited about this season.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's happened is I've figured out what went wrong. It's not going to happen again.
So we'll have him every Tuesday?
We'll have him every Tuesday.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, before you do that, can I just say world-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodall is coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius of the Beatles.
Isn't that the guy who was like, he lived with the apes?
That was like Jane somebody.
Oh, okay.
This one-of-a-kind event will take place Monday, December 16th at the beautiful George Theater. Thanks to St. Luke's Music with Friends, Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors open at 6:30 and includes light bites both before and after Goodall's presentation, plus a Q&A with Ken Hoffman, perhaps Houston's biggest Beatles fan. This is an exceptional, rare opportunity. The first time Goodall has given his presentation on the Beatles in the United States. Tickets are on sale now at sportsmap.com.
All right, we'll get to a couple of these calls on the other side of the break. I got to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows. Listen, it's starting to get a little chilly out there. You need to check your windows for leaks before the winter chill gets here officially. And Once you check those, you're going to want to talk to Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. For 48 years, they've been helping people save up to 40% on their electric bills by installing the best quality windows and siding. Get 25% knocked off your window package in October. No payments for 2 years. They're family-owned and operated for over 45 years, which means if you've got a problem, guess what? When you call that number, they're going to be there. This is a company that's been around for a long time. They're going to be around for a long time, a company you can count on. Military and senior discounts are available. Remember, if you want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows, that is. 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or check them out online. AllstateSidingAndWindows.com. That's Allstate Siding and Windows.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz and 26 minutes away from 25 minutes. Nationals and Astros on our station right here.
Oh, yes. By the way, cool little programming note. You asked for it, and we were like, okay, that makes sense. So as soon as the game ends, instead of having, you know, a soccer show or whatever national show comes on, we're going to have Patrick Creighton. And he's going to be taking calls. He's going to be doing the damn thing. He's going to he'll be on air probably till about 1 in the morning. So if you want to talk about the game after the game, 713-780-3776. Patrick will be in here breaking it down with you.
Especially so, if you're out and about afterwards and you're all excited.
Yeah.
Or, you know, could be the other.
Boy, some of these guys have been waiting.
But you know what? We got to get in a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day first.
Okay. The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. We go to Kennedy. Oh, geez.
Hosers.
This is terribly. So your wife has a passport.
She does.
Let's say you had a Canadian mistress.
I would never do that. I don't even like Canadians.
Well, would you use your wife's passport to try to sneak her across, even though they look nothing alike?
No.
And that's exactly what happened when basically he stole his wife's passport to try to sneak his mistress in to the United States. He got caught at the Ambassador Bridge in Detroit. And he had Texas license plates, by the way. Claimed he lived in, he moved to Michigan. But the 49-year-old Javid Jorak is his name.
That's a made-up name.
Pulled up to a border inspection booth, and the woman, Lynchy Kroska, was in the passenger seat.
Her name's Lynchy?
L-E-N-C-H-E. I'm sure there's some kind of weird pronunciation. But basically, he looked at the photos, looked nothing like the woman. So he asked her for a second piece of identification, and the man said, "Oh no, she doesn't have one because she doesn't drive." So they fingerprinted her and found out she'd been denied access to the United States because her own husband had come in and overstayed.
Oh boy!
And guess what? Now they're in serious trouble.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you can't try to. That's like
you're going to jail now.
Smuggling people.
So, yep. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day.
All right, now you can go to your phone call.
All right, let's go to Neil. Hello, Neil.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports, Neil.
So, I was listening. Y'all always make me smile. I never call, but y'all got to talking about the old Astros guys. And, of course, I grew up watching baseball on the radio. That's how old I am. But my son played, I used to see Enos Cabell out at Gus Worthen Golf Course all the time in the early 90s, I guess. And then my son started playing Little League Baseball in Sugar Land. And Terry Poole's son was playing there at the same time. And to kick off the season, they always have a big deal, barbecue parade and all kind of stuff, and they had a father's softball game. Terry Poole came up to bat, and you can go to the game and watch bat speed and this and that, but if you're standing right there, that guy swung that bat. I have never seen in my life a softball hit so hard it. I think somewhere in the subdivision. But it was so cool to meet those guys as just regular people. They're just regular people that go out and do a job. And yet, when you mentioned Terry Poole, it just brought a smile to my face, and I just had to call you guys. So my hour sitting on the Southwest Freeway was cool because I just listened to you on my phone. Turn my radio off.
Right on, man. Appreciate you.
And go
Stros, Neil.
I've heard a lot of people say that about Terry Poole. I only vaguely remember covering him, which I don't want to mess up my Hey Man Bleep That, but kind of has something to do with that. But I have nothing but good things about Terry Poole.
Let's go to Hunter. Hello, Hunter.
Hello.
Hey, sports.
All right. So I just wanted to talk about, I can't remember if it was the first or second game Verlander played in. Had a couple questions. We can agree Verlander struggled in the beginning of the series, World Series, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to see, do y'all think Jake Marisnyk is a possibility in center if Verlander, you know, starts to struggle there? I know Verlander I know Marisnyk isn't the best with the bat, but do you think that he is a possibility in center if we do start struggling in the first inning?
No. They're not going to make a move in the first inning. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all if it's a tight game in the sixth inning or something like that.
If they've got a lead late, I could see it.
Yeah,
because
bring
they've
him
done
in
that a lot
for a defensive replacement. But and he'd go to center, and Springer would slide over to right. But they're not going to make a change like that in the first inning. I can't picture that happening. David, what do you got, man?
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're doing sports.
All right. Hey, I had a comment on what you guys were talking about with Tom Herman. I'm a Texas fan, and I'm admittedly a homer, but I think I'm a realist with what they've got going on. I want to get you guys' thoughts. So Texas last year, they lost 8 starters on defense. They've had all these injuries. So I mean, Caden Stearns, Josh Thompson, Jalen Green, McCullough, Brown. There's 4 or 5 others. And then on top of, you know, losing, I mean, they had to move Rashawn Johnson to running back during camp because they lost 2 guys. I think the fan base is just a little bit delusional and need to give Herman some time. And I mean, I think Orlando in that regard as well, because, I mean, they're playing, if you look at their 2 deep right now, they have 4 out of 22, they have 4 kids that are juniors and seniors on their 2 deep on defense. And I think it's as much inexperience as anything else. So I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on that, but figured I'd at least, you know, throw that out there from because I agree with what Fred was saying, is give Herman a little bit of time. Next year is more of the year, I think. But they're so beat up. They're playing kids that have hardly even played.
The problem is, you know, when you start talking about next year's the year, now you're starting to run out of time with Sam Ehlinger. Like, this was his junior year. Now you got 1 left with the guy.
Yeah, but you know what? Go out and, I mean, you're recruiting great. Go out and recruit another quarterback. I mean, that's part of college football. Nobody's there forever.
And speaking of Sam Ehlinger, I mean, without him, where would this team be?
Yeah.
He's covering up a lot of problems, a lot of flaws.
Yeah, and I would just say that those are good points with the injuries, and those guys, that they'll be more experienced next year. But a lot of times when guys get time like that, and you think, okay, they're going to be better next year. They're not.
And here's one other thing that I'll be honest about. If they end up losing that game to Kansas, if that's 50-48 or 48-47 Kansas, we're having a different conversation, and there's probably heads already rolling. Because, I mean, and I'm not talking about Tom Herman's head, but
you're talking about
Todd Orlando's probably gone. I mean, there would have had to have been sweeping changes if you lose that game.
Dustin said, ask the Uber driver to turn on the radio. Where was it at when he turned it on? Said he asked if he listened. He said, all my passengers want this station, 97.5.
That's what I'm talking about, bro.
That's why we love Uber drivers and Lyft drivers.
That's right.
And drivers of all kind. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Uber driver. All right. What do we have here?
Tri-Eagle Energy. That's right, man. I got to tell you about Tri-Eagle. Listen. if you know the deal, you're shopping for electricity rates. It's not fun. It's a hassle. Let's face it here. Tri-Eagle, though, they're like, nah, man, we're going to make this easy for you. We're not going to try to pull the wool over your eyes. We're gonna say, hey, this is the rate you pay, and then boom, that's the rate you're going to pay. How about that? What you see is what you get. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. They're a born and raised in Texas company that provides simple fixed rates, which means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you end up using, guys. It's an easy, fast sign-up process. No gimmicks, no surprises on your bill, no hidden fees. In fact, you'll receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate on your energy charges before your bill even hits the mail. And they're offering a discount to our listeners. Simply use the promo code ESPN when you sign up. You'll save even more money. 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT number 10064.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One final segment to go, and then the World Series right here on the station. And shout out to Khalid, the Uber driver, who is giving Dustin
word.
A ride. Appreciate you listening to the station. Appreciate all our Uber drivers and Lyft drivers. All right, you just want to talk Astros here, or do you want to do a Hey Man Bleep That?
Because we can do that real quick.
Okay, because my Hey Man Bleep That's actually Astros related.
Mine's Deadspin, apparently, which has been one of our favorite websites for a long time.
Yeah, I've kind of been out on it since the whole RJ thing, but yeah, for the longest time I used it.
They've now, basically, their editorial director has told them, don't cover anything other than sports. We're only talking sports on Deadspin now. And they've also added like these new ads that pop up, videos that will play on the site.
God, I hate that.
And it's made the user experience worse. I don't know why Deadspin is going the way they're going.
Well, remember they got sold after the big lawsuit,
yeah.
The Hulk Hogan thing.
Well, it ain't going well right now. And I know their top editor left back in August. And basically, she was like, when they told her, hey, it's sports only going forward, she was like, I'm out. It's not what I'm here for. And, now they've got these autoplay videos popping up, and it's just, it ain't good. So, I'm close to out all the way on Deadspin. So, way to ruin a good thing. I say, hey, man, that.
Yeah, they've gone in a really bad direction the last couple of years. I pretty much quit using them regularly after the RJ thing, but that kind of stuff, since they've been purchased, that's what happens a lot of times. People buy things and they mess them up. Aaron, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll try to make mine quick. I was in Minneapolis over the weekend for a birthday celebration to go drink beer with my wife, and there's something that I've been told or I've done in the past. I think we've all done it while being on vacation.
You walked into someone's hotel room naked, didn't you?
No. Oh. I wanted to, you know, bring some beer back, but I don't have room in my bag because Spirit Airlines is expensive when you want to check a bag. No. So I went the next best route, which would be have, you know, one of the national courier services bring it back for me.
Yeah.
And I dropped it off at one I've used multiple times, never had a problem, and I get about halfway away, about 5 miles away, they call me and say, hey, I can feel something moving in here. What is this? Just some liquid and stuff. Is it beer? No. Well, I'm going to open up and find out if it's beer. And if it is, you have to come take it. We're not going to ship it for you.
What?
Yeah. So then I get there and I go and try to find another place. So I stop by a liquor store to ask, and the manager of the liquor store goes, yeah, they're not allowed to do that. What a D-bag move for trying to butt. He was like, dude, just throw it on the truck.
Yeah.
It's beer. If it explodes or whatever, it's beer. You lose the money. Are you willing to do that? I said, yeah. But, yeah, for that guy trying to be a do-gooder and, oh, I'll get fired. No, you won't. They won't even trace it
garbage.
Back to you.
I always just say it's diabetic lemonade.
Well, the guy at the liquor store goes, hey, we're really close to Canada. Just say it's maple syrup next time, dummy. That would be a liquid that would move around. So, hey, man, f*** that.
Yeah. Although, I think we could trace the real problem back to you flying Spirit Airlines.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I didn't have room in my bag either way. I didn't when I came from Colorado either. I had to ship some back.
All right. Mine is like I said, Astros related, because, you know, I did the top 10 Astros thing, and I got an email from a dude who was just basically lighting me up for leaving Jose Cruz off of the list. And
Jose Cruz.
And basically saying that, well, how long have you been covering this team? 2 years? 3 years? And I kind of like, look, if you're going to come after me, maybe do a little research. I've been covering the team since 1983. I worked for the team before that as a kid. I knew all these players. I've hung out with a bunch of these players. I've been around, you know, and yeah, I lost touch when they started sucking here at the beginning of the decade because, frankly, they weren't interesting. But I get, I get called out for being old on one hand, and on the other hand, I get called out for not being experienced enough. I mean, beat me up for being old all you want. I'm totally cool with that, but you can't have it both ways. To that, I say, hey, man, f*** that.
That's right.
Yeah. Hard. All right, last thoughts on the game.
I'm going to be Mr. Pessimism tonight. I think the Nationals take tonight. I think Strasburg is. I think he goes out there and spins it. And I'm not saying Verlander gets lit up. I think finally we get an under game in this series where it's a really tight, well pitched game. I just think Strasburg is a little bit better right now.
I think Strasburg will have a great game, but I also think that the Nationals bats don't wake up and they continue to play. They continue to hit the ball the way they have the last three games where they've put up one run. One run's not going to do it. And I think the Astros finish it off tonight. I'm really hopeful they finish it off tonight because I'm...
You're tired of sports mapping them?
Admit
it. That's what you're tired of doing.
It's the part of the job is, you know, you have to... I mean, it's hard to enjoy something like this. Dude, when you have to work.
How much juggling of the schedule do you think I've had to do to run these Astros games?
I know. And it's not, I mean, it. I don't want to sound like it's not fun, but it's not. Yeah. It's work. So, you know, it reminds me of my old days. I never was really much of a fan of anything because the better the teams did, the harder I had to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's okay. But I want them to win. I really do. Basically so they can bleep you, the national media. Who keeps talking about, you know, the culture there and everything. Give me a break. All right. You going anywhere to watch a game, Aaron, or are you going home?
I will be sitting right here.
Aaron's running the game. I got to have reliable guys on the board.
Yeah, well, he's been gone.
And plus, he took the day off yesterday.
I didn't use a vacation day that I had earned or anything.
It's a good thing I didn't bring you that beer I got you for your birthday because you probably sit here and kill it off.
Well, yeah. I left my cooler beer. Last week, I had some. This week, I ran out of Crawford Box, so.
Oh, well.
I mean, if somebody wants to deliver some to the station, I'll be here for the next 5 hours, 6 hours.
There's probably still some in the fridge that I gave you guys.
There's Crawford Bock in there?
No, not Crawford
Bock.
Oh,
okay.
But there's...
I'll drink that, too.
Yeah, there should be some in there. See, I try to take care of the people.
Yeah.
All right. It's going to wrap it up. Good job, Aaron. Welcome back. Good job, Hoffman.
Hey, thanks.
That was okay. We'll do it again tomorrow. And hopefully we're talking about a championship or we'll be talking about a game 7. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.